happen either. I've been misspelling valuable incorrectly my entire life, or it's misspelled there. So, I gather by the laughs that I am not incorrect. The screen is. So, just to jump right in. Five characteristics of a valuable vessel. A few years ago, I'd say 5-6 years ago, I heard a message about being a vessel, and it kind of spoke to me. And I guess over the past few years of my life, I'm learning what it is to be a valuable vessel for God. And I guess throughout the past couple of years, as I'm learning what it takes to be a valuable vessel to God, a honorable vessel for God, something that He can use and have meaning and have purpose, I've coined five things that I guess I'm trying to implement in my life. And hopefully, if I share them with you tonight, you can implement them in yours as well. And maybe someday I may preach this sermon again and have six or seven. But as of right now, these are the five that I feel like God is really using through me in my life. I'm going to just open up with a quick scripture and then I'm going to pray and then we'll get into it. But in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, because that's not where we're going to remain the entirety of the message. But just write that down in your notes. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." I guess not everybody grows up in church. When I say I grew up in church, I literally grew up in church. If it was like Tuesday night cleaning night, I was there. If it was Thursday night and all the women gathered together and did Sweat Into the Oldies, I was there. I grew up in church. And that's true. That's for real. That really happened in my younger days. So, go Richard Simmons. But, you know, not I guess I take for granted sometimes when I'm preaching that not everybody has the same background as I do. And so I guess before I go any further into a sermon, I believe it is very imperative that we all understand that we are a vessel of God. We are not our own. We are not just wandering around this universe and letting it circle us. You are bought with a price. You are not your own body. God is merely using you as a tool to further His name, His glory, and His kingdom. So I do want to get that out of the way first and foremost. If you didn't know that, now you do. So now you can't blame the rest of the sermon on not having prior knowledge. Dear God, I just praise you and I thank you so much for this moment, this opportunity, the privilege of being here once again on this platform. God, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of those that are here tonight. God, I pray that you'll open our eyes, open our hearts, God, not just captivate us, but cultivate us into the Christians that you would have us be, God, those usable vessels that you can go and you can pour out into other people's lives. God, I pray that we'd not be so wrapped up in ourselves or anything be hindering to us, God, but Lord, let us just be taking this moment, Lord, and just worshiping you, honoring you, giving you all the glory, God, so that we can learn how to be what you want us to be, Lord, not what we want of ourselves. It's all these things we ask and we pray in your holy name. Amen. So if you do want to open your Bible, if you'd like to, if you want to turn it on, or open it. Either way, we have both of those in the congregation, I'm sure. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses, I'll start around 1 and we'll just stop whenever I feel like stopping. 2 Kings chapter 4. A lot of you guys who will have a title, like at the very beginning of a chapter, you may see something about the widow and her sons, or the widow and the old, or the whatever it is. That is the story that I'm going to use for a little bit here. tonight, and I'm just going to tell the biblical story, read a little bit of it. But it says that there was a certain woman of the company of Elisha. And by company, some of your Bibles will say that she was a wife of the sons. Either way, she was of the lineage and of the tribe of the people of Elisha. And it says that she comes to Elisha and she says, "Elisha, as you know, my husband has died." And in this time, you know, most of us these days, if our husband dies, most of the time we have a life insurance policy on them. And really and truly, some of us are worth more dead than we are alive. I.e. myself, if I come up missing, y'all blame Tasha. But in the days of old, there were no life insurance policies. And so a lot of times when a husband died and it left the wife a widow, if he owed certain debts and he no longer had the income, the family no longer had his income as a worker, the creditors would come and they would take the sons and they would make them into slaves or indentured servants until the debts were caught up, until the debt was paid. So the woman comes to Elisha and she says, "Elisha, I don't know what I'm going to do. My husband has died and now the creditors are calling. I don't know what to do. Now if a creditor calls me, I just block the number. But the creditors are calling and they're going to take my sons." He's like, "Well, what can I do? How can I help? What do you have? What do you have to offer?" She's like, I have nothing. I really have nothing except all I have to my possession is a very small jar of oil." Now, understanding before we go any further into the scripture or further into the sermon, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times when we see the Holy Spirit mentioned, we'll see how the oil covered somebody, and that's the covering of the Holy Spirit. So before we go any further, we need to understand that she has just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. She has just a little bit of oil. So Elisha says to her, he says, here's what God told me to tell you to do. Go to all your neighbors, anybody that you know, go to them and borrow empty jars, empty vessels, empty anything that you can find that's empty and usable. These jars and vessels, you get them and you gather them all up and you take them inside your house and you shut the door behind you and your sons and you take your small jar of oil and you start pouring into those jars. Well, that seems simple enough. So the lady's like, "Well, I guess I can do that if that's all you want me to do. Simple enough, I can make that happen." So she sends her sons out and she goes, and I'm sure all the people are wondering, why is this lady, I mean, is she going to just sell her jars, take my crock pot and not never ever bring it back? What's this lady doing? So she goes around to all of her friends, all of her neighbors, everywhere that she can go throughout the city, throughout the town. She says, "I need empty jars." And she brings them back and she shuts the door behind her and she does as the prophet says, and she shuts the door and she takes her small jar of oil, her small little vessel of oil, and she starts pouring into vessels. And I can imagine an array of jars and vessels. You know, some people have large, big jars, and then some people have little bitty small ones. Everybody's just kind of donated to her whatever they had that was lying around that was just there. So big ones, small, medium sized, fat top ones, little skinny top ones, all of these different jars, and she's pouring into it. And I'm sure at some point in time, she's like, "Wow, this is really weird. I'm taking this little bitty jar of oil, and it's filling up all these big jars." And so she keeps filling up, and she keeps filling up, and she keeps filling up, and her sons just keep handling it. And Elijah said, "Once you get one full, you just set it to the side, and you grab the next one." So she's filling up, and she's filling up, and she's filling up. And then she gets to the very last one, and she fills it up, and she says, "Hurry, I need another jar." And they said, "There are no other jars, Mom." And then all of a sudden, the oil stopped. Now, I hate to leave or finish a sermon without finishing the story. I really dislike when a preacher like starts telling a story, they get all the way to the almost end, and then they start preaching a sermon, and then they don't ever finish. You're like, "Well, what happened?" So, I will tell you what happened. She takes the jars, she sells all the oil, and then she takes the money that she got from the oil, she pays off her creditors, and then they live off of what's left. I want to talk tonight, just over the next brief few moments, of how we can be a valuable vessel for God. You know, I see this sermon and I see it as, or I see this story, and I started preparing a sermon. I'm like, really and truly, these were just trash vessels. These were throwaways. These were something that somebody said, well, if she doesn't ever bring it back, it's not a big deal. It's just an empty old jar I've got sitting around the house. These are throwaways. What brought value to the old throwaways was not the vessel itself that was borrowed, but what was put into the vessel that was then sold to pay the price. I understand that me as a person, in my 29 years of life, I'm learning every single day how insignificant I am in the world. You know, at a young age, and a lot of you teenagers, you may not understand this yet, we're really insignificant. I thought when I was 16, 17, 18 year old that I was somebody. I thought, man, I'm somebody. I'm really big. I'm really cool. I know everything. Everybody else is dumb. I'm somebody. And it seemed like every day from just that age on, I realized I know nothing and I am nobody. I look around the world. I'm like, I'm just so insignificant in a world full of other significant people. But then I look back at myself and I'm like, well, obviously I have purpose. Obviously I have a destiny. Obviously God has a plan for me. But that plan is not based on my shell or my vessel. It's based on what He puts in me that can be used. And the same is true of yourself. You really don't have a whole lot of value as a person. But the plan and the destiny and the calling that God has for your life adds value of so much significance that you don't even understand. But how do I become a valuable vessel of God? What are the characteristics that I need to show to be valuable? Paul writes in 2 Timothy. There is no 2 Paul. I got a weird look. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, I think it's somewhere around chapter 2. He's writing to Timothy. He's in jail waiting to be executed. He knows it's the end of his life, probably around the age of 70. And Timothy's 30, 40 years the younger. And he's writing to Timothy and he says, in a large house, there are multiple vessels. Vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. You know, the honorable vessels are the ones that are brought out when company comes over and they're shown, and this is our good stuff. And the dishonorable vessels were normally the ones kept in a bathroom that were literally waste cans. They did not have running water, as Pastor said earlier, so these were waste pots. Pots that you would use throughout the day, and at the end of the day, you go and dump them in your neighbor's yard. Help fertilize. You have honorable vessels and dishonorable vessels. I want to be an honorable vessel. I want to be a usable vessel. I want to be something that God has a value. So my five characteristics, to not hold you off any longer, I'm going to start with number one, willing. I will never be used by God if I'm not first willing to be used by God. Now, it may be a stretch from the scripture, because these vessels didn't just grow legs and wander up to this lady's house to be used. But the owner of the vessel was willing to allow this vessel to be taken away from their possession and given to somebody else to be filled up and to be used. In the same way, a lot of us as Christians, we die to ourselves. And we say, God, I'm not trying to use this body for my own purpose anymore. I want to turn it over to you and you use it. You fill it. You use this temple however you would have, however you want to. I just want to be the willing vessel of God. We pray the same way that Jesus tells the disciples when they say, Lord, just teach us how to pray. He says, pray in this way. And he ends and he says, not my will, but your will be done. You know, a lot of times in this life, we're like, my will. This is my plan. This is my 10-year plan. This is my 5-year plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to establish. This is where I'm going to be. God says there are no I's. There's only my will, my plan for your life. You don't even know what you need. You don't even know what you want because my thoughts are higher and my plans are better than anything that you can ever establish in your life. Turn your will over and listen to the Father. So my first point is a willingness to be used. My second point tonight is clean. Clean. The Bible says that we should be sanctified. That's basically a big fancy term of being cleaned out. You know, the Bible talks in the Scripture, it says that you don't take old wineskins and put new wine in them. For one, they're going to burst because they're just not ready for new wine. What if they bust and they spill all your new wine? But secondly, who puts old stuff or new stuff in an old container anyways? I don't waltz up into the kitchen and look in the sink for a dirty dish to get me a new fresh sip of water. No. I mean, what could you imagine having like a small child and like, I still only got a little bit of sour milk down the bottom of that bottle. Just top it off and give it back to them. We've got to be clean. If we're going to be a valuable vessel for God, you can't be dirty. You can't bring unclean stuff and say, okay, God, use me. I know I got a bunch of junk in here. I got a bunch of issues. Go ahead. See what you can do. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have all your ducks in a row, all your I's dotted, all your T's crossed, because you will never be perfect enough or righteous enough to be used by God. But you have to have some sort of conscious effort as a Christian to say, I'm not going to allow any more junk in. So are you clean? Can you be used or do you have just dirt in your life that needs to be removed? Because if you do, I know a really good cleaning service. My third point tonight is, as we continue on our way, on our journey, is you have to be empty. And I know probably clean maybe covers empty in a way, but in my life, I've realized that I can be clean. I can be walking in God's Spirit. I can be doing the things that God would have me do. I can be a good person, a good Christian, and still have my plate full. I've heard it said once, and I love the way they said it. He said, anytime you come to God and you're not empty, you're full of yourself. I didn't expect anybody to like jump up and shout right then. But it is so true. If I expect God to use me, He doesn't ask for a portion. He doesn't ask for half or a little bit. He wants all of me. He wants all of you. If I'm going to really be a valuable Christian and really be a valuable vessel, somebody that God can use, take and fill, I need to be empty. Because you can take a vessel and you can clean it out, and at the bottom of it, there can be water where it's clean, and then I can pour oil on top of that, but that oil is going to be tainted with the water that was once there. Just because it was clean doesn't mean that it was empty. You know, sure we can be willing, sure we can be clean, but are you full or are you empty coming to God? Are you making yourself, you know, ready to be filled? If you go to the restaurant tonight after church and you're sitting there, The waitress walks around. She's got a big old pitcher of sweet tea, and she looks down at your table, and your sweet tea cup is full. She's not going to pour more sweet tea in on top of your full cup. If you're not using and pouring out what you have inside of you, if you're not emptying yourself out, how can you expect more oil, more wine to be poured into you? If I'm not going to sit there and drink my sweet tea out of my cup, I have no need for more sweet tea being poured into me. Empty yourselves. Point five, as I'm carrying along, are you available? Available. It doesn't matter how good of a Christian you are. You can be really, really good at something. I'm the best teacher in the world. I'm the most anointed pastor in the world. I'm the best singer that you'll ever hear. And I love God and I worship God and I'm a Christian. But I'm going to have to check my schedule. See if God can use me, because I'm not really available that often. I have no use for an unavailable vessel when I'm needing a vessel to use. They went around all the city collecting all these empty vessels and bringing them back, but the vessels that weren't available, they couldn't bring with them. Those vessels could not be filled because they weren't there. They weren't available to be used. Are you making yourself available? There's an 80-20 rule. I don't know if you understand the 80-20 rule of churches. People, like these church statistical companies that go around and they kind of evaluate a church and its health and all these different things, they have what they call the 80-20 rule. And it says that 20% of the congregation gives of themselves and 80 are just there for mere spectation. Are you a participator in Christian events? Or are you merely just a spectator? You know, we can go to all the stuff and do all the things, but if we're not making ourselves readily available for God to use, how can He use us? You know, a lot of times in here and I remember specifically Brother Gary preaching one time, and he talked about how he was just praying that God would use him more. And I don't know the story in its entirety, but he said he walks into a store and the lady said something about, I don't know, she didn't feel good or something. He said, I just reached over and started praying for her. I don't know if she expected it. Am I telling the story semi-correctly? You know, we come in here and we get all high and mighty on God, and we're like, man, I just want to be used. Here's my availability notice. I have vacancy, God. Just use me. And then we walk out and God opens up a door for us. And we're like, I'm not available right now. I don't think so. Are you making yourself available for the cause of Christ? All of these things that I'm talking about, in here they sound really good, because in here we're really good Christians. We are the most Christian people in the world when we're sitting on our pew at church. But yet once we step outside the door, we somehow lose some of our holiness. And it's like, meh. I'll go back Wednesday or Sunday and see if I get a little more Christian again. I don't want to just be available on Sunday or Wednesdays. I don't want to be available to teach a Sunday school class from 10 to 10:30 and not think about it any time else throughout the week. If I'm making myself available to God, I want to be available to God 24/7, whatever you want, whatever you ask, however, whenever, whatever, I'm here, God, I'm available. And the fifth one, and it's probably a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to talk about it anyways, because I do believe it's a biblical principle of making us a valuable vessel. And I'm going to use the word united. My closing characteristic of being a valuable vessel, and possibly I might even should re-examine my title. I don't know how to say it, but characteristics of a valuable vessel. Maybe I should have named this characteristics of valuable vessels. Because there has to be unity. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. You know, we all have to be like-minded and all in one accord and doing things for the greater good of God, not just for ourselves. And I'm just going to recap my five just to make sure that you did get them all down if you were taking notes. And then I'm going to kind of preach on into United as and then I'll get somebody to come play the piano for me. Not yet. Just wait. Number one, am I willing? Not my will, but yours. Am I willing? Number two, am I clean? David says, search me, O God, and see if there's anything in me that doesn't need to be there. Anything that's unholy. And if it is, you take it out of me. Are we clean? Number three is empty. Less of me and more of you, God. In every aspect of my life, less of me and more of you. I just want to be empty, God. Number four, am I available? Whatever, whenever, however. Doesn't matter, God. I want to be available. And number five, united. All in one accord. And like I said, it may be a stretch how I came to this conclusion, but sometimes my brain just doesn't work like yours, and I read a little bit differently into the text than what you would typically see out of educated people. You know, very rarely in Scripture do we ever see God say, hey, you go out on your own and you do this all by yourself. You count throughout the Scripture. See how many times you find it. I haven't done it, but I'm guessing it's very, very few times God says, you go do this by yourself. Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs so that there would be somebody to help them. God said, if any two or three agree or together, there's power in unity. We as a church are never going to get anything done if every single one of us has a different vision or a different plan or a different design in which we're going for. I believe that is one thing that's helped this church so far, is that we do have a unified vision of where we're going, and we are led by God, not by a man, but by God who speaks under the authority or through the authority of leadership who are taking us towards a vision. There has to be unity. See, in the story of Elisha, he tells the lady, he says, go and get all the vessels and get them together and shut the door. In my mindset, I can't help but to wonder, if this lady would have went and gathered all the vessels, you know people like this, so if they're in here, don't point at them. But you tell them, hey, go get all this stuff together for me. You go to their office and you're like, hey, if you'll get everything together for me, we'll come, we'll look at it tomorrow at work, and we'll go through and we'll dot all the I's, cross all the T's, we'll make sure it's all together. And then you go the next day, and they're like, I've got it all together. But all together means that half of it's on their desk, half of it's in the copier, half of it's on this other table, half of it's over here, half of it's in their car because they took it home to work on it. And it's not all together. The oil stopped pouring the moment that they said there are no other vessels. I believe had the woman took and had some of those vessels out in the garage and some of those vessels out in the shed and some of those vessels in the bedroom and some of those vessels in the bathroom and some of those vessels in the kitchen. And then she said, hey, go get me another vessel. Well, wait a minute, Mom. I got to run to the garage and get the others. No, the Bible said, take all that you have, all the that you have, and you put them together in one place and you start pouring. And then once you pour one full, you set it to the side, and you grab the next. I believe she could have hindered her blessing, hindered her miracle, hindered the pouring out of the oil if they weren't all together in one place with the door shut behind them. The same thing is true in a church. We can all be willing, we can all be clean, we can all be empty, we can all be available, but we can all be scattered. And if we're all scattered, we're never going to accomplish anything. The Bible talks about the body having many parts. Each different part has a different purpose. We're not all feet. We're not all eyes. We're not all hands. But it takes each and every part of the body working together to be used for the glory of God. We have to be a unified force in this day and age, or I promise you, the enemy will come against us and we stand no chance. And I'm going to go a little bit further with this. I don't know if you've ever saw this before in Scripture. I don't even know if it really works in your mindset in Scripture, but this is where God took me. In my study last night, as I was preparing, I already had my sermon pretty much together and I was getting ready to close it up. And I was like, God, what else is there that you want to show? And he said, flip to Acts and I want to show you one thing. So I flipped over to Acts, and in Acts chapter 1, it talks about Jesus telling them to not leave Jerusalem and to stay together for just a little while longer. And in the beginning of the second chapter of Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit was poured out on each and every one of them. And they were all filled up. I don't believe that this Bible just has mere coincidences where something kind of interacts with this part over here. Everything about your Scripture, everything from Genesis to Revelations, is all pointing to Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. The same way that the woman poured out the oil into the vessels to be used to go out and to pay the debts. I believe that when Jesus Christ came in and he left, and he said, y'all stay together just a little while longer because I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you and I'm going to keep pouring it into vessels. And the only way the oil is going to stop is when I run out of vessels. A valuable vessel is not made valuable because of the outside. A valuable vessel, blah, 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 is made valuable because of the contents that it holds. Are you an honorable, valuable vessel? I honestly do believe the oil has not run out. But I fear the day that it does, when no more vessels come forward and say, God, use me. Ryan, as you're coming to the piano for me, ...120 people gathered around together in a room, and they all got in one mindset, one accord, and they worshiped Jesus. They longed for a return of Jesus, to see the face of Jesus one more time in their lives. And the Holy Spirit blew into that place like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled each and every one of them till they were drunk. Now, if the power of the Holy Spirit makes you uncomfortable, I am sorry, but it is biblical, and I cannot find where it stops. There is still a power. The same power that raised Jesus up, it doesn't say that we've got the same power. It says even more power. Even greater is the power that we walk in. Power that raised Jesus from the dead. But if you're going to be a valuable vessel for the kingdom, you're going to have to abide by some principles, some characteristics that God laid out in Scripture. If you want to be used, you got to be willing. And I believe we are willing. Why else would he come to church on a Wednesday night if we weren't willing to be used by God? The first step is already there. The second step, we got to clean ourselves. We've got to empty ourselves out. And those are done by the power of the cross making itself evident in our lives. Every single day, every step after salvation, there's a sanctification process that makes us a little bit cleaner and a little bit better. That empties us out just a little bit more of all the stuff, all the we mentality and gets us in the mindset of the Holy Spirit. Availability and unity, those are things that once we've kind of got past the beginning and we're really ready to step into the ministry or the calling for God in our lives, whatever it is. Some of you may be pastors. Some of you may be preachers. Some of you may be singers. Some of you may just be the best, I don't know, tither that we've ever seen. Bless Jesus. Write that big check. We'll build a sanctuary. Everybody has a purpose. But in Christ alone, once we start practicing these biblical principles and trying to be the vessel that God wants us to use, that's the only way. That's the only way that we're going to find satisfaction in life, is being a vessel to our Creator. So I guess the question tonight remains is, do you want more? Do you want more? And I guess this is the part of the service where pastor's got it all primed up for, and he says, if you can't do anything with that, then we'll just close it down and we'll go home. If you don't want anymore, I'll close it down and we'll go home. But I don't think I'm looking at the face of people who are so full of the anointing, so full of the Holy Spirit, that there's room enough for a little bit more in your life. I know I'm not full. I feel like I'm pretty good, but man, anything you've got for me, I want. Anything. Whatever, however, whenever. I just want to be used. And as we're standing to our feet, do any of these things hit home? Do any of these things, once I said it, you thought, oh, if I want to be used by God, I probably need to work on that in a little bit. You know, I'm not always the cleanest Christian. Maybe I'm just so full of myself and full of stuff that I just don't know what to do. Maybe I've just not made myself available to be used. Maybe I've let diversity separate me and my department, me and my calling, me and my position. Maybe I'll let diversity hinder me from really doing what God wants me to do. Maybe I'm a Sunday school teacher, but man, pastor talked about how good all the Sunday school teachers were doing that day, but he didn't mention my name, and I'm going to draw a line there. Maybe you're letting some division in your life hinder you from walking in the full anointing and the full power of the Holy Spirit. And for some reason, I think we also take this for granted as pastors. Maybe you've never known the way. Maybe all of this sounds nice in a fairy tale world, but pastor, I don't even know really who Jesus is. I've heard this, know the tales. But I have no power inside of me because I don't know Him personally. Maybe that's you. And I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plead. But I am going to offer you the opportunity. And I'm just going to take a moment. If you've allowed anything to prevent you from being the valuable vessel, the honorable vessel, the thing that God wants you to be, if you're allowing anything to stand in the way of you walking in the full anointing, just come to Jesus. That's all I ask. Just come. These altars are open for you. Just come. Maybe you've got just some stuff in your life and there's one coming. Maybe there's more. Maybe you've got something in your life that's just kind of hindering you. Can I get a couple singers? Maybe you've just sold out to the lie that your greatest days are behind you. That's a lie of the enemy. I believe this year is going to be the greatest year you've ever experienced. I believe this year is going to be something that you've never known. But before you can step into what God wants you to do, you've got to be where He wants you to be. You've got to empty yourself. You've got to start practicing the principles and the characteristics of a valuable Christian. So as we're praying for this one, if there's anybody else, come. It's not too late. Just come.